Welcome to Bevington Banter, the show where we can sound like we're arguing even when we all agree. I'm Cassidy, and together with my brother Cade and dad Randy, each week we discuss a selection of news stories, topics surrounding the culture, and matters of freedom and faith. Thanks for listening. Follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Share it, and if you like what you hear, rate it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify.
There's a lot of stuff going on in the news and events and stuff, but Cade and I both just got exposed to a guy named Michael Yon on the Tucker Carlson podcast.
I had heard about him back when Brett Weinstein was on Tucker Carlson, and then he did he also did Joe Rogan, like right at the same time. He did Carlson and Rogan. And Brett Weinstein talked about Michael Yon because he was down. That's who his guide was through the Darien Gap when Weinstein went down there.
Right.
So this guy has basically lived down there for like 6 months. So, there's no way that anybody knows more than him. I would argue that he does actually have the full picture put together. He knows what's going on.
Yeah. I was just going to look. What episode number was that of Tucker Carlson? Do you know?
I don't know if he does episode numbers, but if I go to his show,
I'm pulling it up right now.
Michael Yon. I don't have a number. I only have a date. It would be from April 23rd. There's not a number unless he puts the numbers only on Twitter.
This is I was going to say it's on Twitter. So looks like it'd be episode number 97.
Okay. Yeah, so if you look at that, Tucker Carlson episode number 97. But Michael Yon was a Green Beret. I think we've even talked about him on the show previously. In fact, back when the Brett Weinstein podcast came out. But yeah, he was a Green Beret. He's kind of turned into an investigative journalist, I guess, but on like a worldwide. And Brett Weinstein kind of described him as investigating the story that yet does not have a name. Because he just believes that all of this is one big grand scheme. And he's taking all these different catastrophes and things like that that we've heard about. And we're talking about immigration, and we're talking about COVID, and we're talking about the war in Russia, and we're talking about, you know, the Nord Stream pipeline being blown up. And he is taking all of those things and piecing them together and theorizing what this big plan is. And it does actually seem to be a big plan.
I just want to state it's not number 97, episode 97 on Twitter. There is no number with it, so I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I don't think there's a number. It's the Tucker Carlson podcast from April 23rd.
I'll link something, either Twitter or I think his website. It's on his website.
Did you listen to it?
Yes, I did, actually.
Insane. Okay, one of the things that stuck out to me the most, Alejandro Mayorkas, the, you know, DHS, the head secretary of Homeland Security, worked for this HIAS, HIAS NGO, that their main goal, I mean, I think the I stands for immigration. And it's like some weird, like, or maybe it's Hebrew International, something like that. But anyway, they're one of the NGOs that's down in South America right now, helping move migrants up through the pipeline into the United States. Alejandro Mayorkas was on the board of that NGO before he was appointed to Secretary of DHS. I even found an article that I sent Dad, and I can send it to you too, Cassidy, so you can put it on, so you can link it. But just to show that this is definitely this same guy, HIAS on their own website put up an article congratulating their board member Alejandro Mayorkas on being appointed to DHS. That's crazy. I mean, a guy who worked for an NGO that's moving migrants into our country got seated above, you know, as like the head guy of Border Patrol.
Yeah, I'm looking at this HIAS right now. Their website and some other listings, and it's so weird. It describes that HIAS as a Jewish nonprofit, but I don't see anywhere where it will spell out what HIAS stands for.
Yeah, now, I do know that the H is Hebrew.
Is Hebrew, and yeah.
One other crazy thing is that in South America, I found articles on this too, dating back to especially like 2019, where Hezbollah is so deeply embedded into countries like Venezuela down there to the point where they had a Hezbollah, you know,
yeah, that's crazy.
Operators set off a bomb in Argentina against some, I don't know, some political rival. And the guy who did the bombing, they know who he is. And to this day, he like owns a bar called the Margarita something or other in Venezuela. Hezbollah. And so the Jewish organization is spending money assisting Hezbollah. Their enemies into the United States. And by the way, this is a U.S. NGO. It's not Israeli. It's a U.S. NGO. They're based, they have Silver Springs, Maryland, which that's D.C.
So he said that the whole driving force, though, behind all of this in organizing all of it is something, was it called IMO, IOM?
Yeah, something like that. They're tied to, it's like an international...
Migrant.
IMO. Isn't it like International Migration
That's what
Operation
I was
or something like that?
It's IOM, actually. International Organization for Migration.
Yes, and they're linked to the UN.
Yes.
They're probably the recipients of a lot of that $3.5 billion that we just sent. You know, we're basically paying the evil plumber to make the pipes bigger to send more toxic water into the country. That's what that money is doing.
Yeah, that's what this $95 billion, or was it $91 billion, whatever it was, that just got passed. $3.5 billion of it is being spent. It's being used to enlarge these migrant camps and hire people to process and funnel people. You know, the other thing that he made a mention of that was not is not commonly known. We know that some migrants are flown in to the country, just simply flown in. Couple hundred here. According to him, it's much more than that. There are every day there are planes of migrants arriving in the country.
Yeah, I like how he talked about those Chinese migrants have an app that literally helps them schedule flights from like Bogota or something right into the U.S. Just wherever. Yeah. He said not everybody can do that, and that's when they have to go through the Darien Gap. But most of them pay the boaters to take the shortcut, so it's not as hard on them. That's so the Chinese ones seem to be the ones that are most funded. Surprising.
But then you go back to the what he said about Venezuelans are the largest nationality of people that are coming in right now, and he said there's some team down there that just ran into another group coming in, and they just flat out said, oh, there's another group of terrorists. Another group of terrorists just arrived when they saw this group of... And that makes sense if people from Venezuela and Hamas is in Venezuela. Isn't that what we
just... So are we saying that not only Venezuela has... Or Hamas has a foothold in Venezuela, like they're located there, but are they saying that they're actually influencing Venezuelans, like, you know, ethnically Venezuelan people to fight for... on behalf of Hezbollah? Is that...
I mean, I can't answer that. I took it to mean that Hezbollah is just in, not that they were Venezuelans.
Geographically located there. They're not actually recruiting Venezuelans to be part of Hezbollah.
I mean, they might, but I didn't understand. I couldn't.
Did you hear when he said that the Chinese are down in other countries trying to convince them that they are ethnically Chinese?
Yes.
Well, what was that about?
Okay, so
I can't remember which group was it. Like
he
the
was
Aztecs?
Told in having, you know, a conversation with one of these high level people that he. I mean, this guy's in a different country around the world almost on a weekly basis. It seems like he's been that you have to understand that the China is not trying to take on the world. China is trying to become the world. So that's the underlying philosophy. And so he said that they're in, I forget which country it was, but
yeah,
they're involved in the archaeological excavations because they want to use that to say, look, you were once Chinese.
Yes.
And then this land bridge thing, you know.
Yeah, you're descendants of Chinese.
Right. So, yeah. And just keep incorporating. So,
like,
the Chinese
philosophy. Pangea?
Yeah.
Everyone was Chinese?
Yeah, everyone was Chinese in Pangea.
And then... the continent started shifting apart.
and so did our eyelids.
Right, this land bridge apparently went apart, was done away with. So anyways, it's interesting because he said, like, he operates under certain, these, you know, paradigm. And if the paradigm, if he's surprised by something, then the paradigm, he needs to probably get rid of it because it's not. He said, if your paradigm is right, you're never surprised. Like he referenced Nord Stream. He knew that Nord Stream was going to be destroyed. He knew that.
Yeah, what's that company that he was talking about? What was that? The company, the chemical company he was talking about. It's in Germany.
Yeah, it's like.
And I can't remember what the name of it is, but he knew, because he said, as this company goes, so Germany goes.
Yeah.
And
Das
he
Chemical.
Said, what is it?
I made it up. No, I just said Das Chemical. No.
I actually, it's something.
Actually.
It's German.
It's like three letters. I can't remember what he said it is. Is it? It's going to bother me.
It seems to me like it was something like FISA, but.
No.
I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, this German energy company, he knew he was in something about, this guy is so connected. When he was a Green Beret, he served with guys from Lithuania when he was overseas. So he contacted some higher up Lithuanian guy in the government. He's like, why is Belarus making this push or whatever for blah, blah, blah. And they said, you know,
well, come on down.
I don't even
we'll
know. Just, yeah, again,
they say,
so
come
much
on down. We'll tell you. The issue, though, of Nord Stream was going to be hit, he predicted it, because they wanted to move
that energy, or that chemical company to China, which they are doing.
Right.
As a result of
They couldn't get the natural gas, the liquid natural gas, or there was a byproduct he was talking about that's being used to make all kinds of fertilizer issues, which is obviously something he said you'd want to hit if you're trying to cause a global food crisis, because his overall arcing paradigm, like I started this with saying, he said he operates under a paradigm, and if you're surprised by something, then you need to reevaluate your paradigm. It's probably wrong. And he said, you know, as of yet, I've not been surprised. And then he talked about predicting Nord Stream. But the overall paradigm he's operating under is world depopulation. So you hit this pipeline that, you know, they used the byproduct from the liquid natural gas to make fertilizers.
Yeah, they want to reduce the amount of these. It's fertilizer specifically that has like nitrogen in it, which is, you know, the creation of that type of fertilizer helped produce a lot more food worldwide than was before. So it's intentional famine.
Right.
Which, you know, that's kind of, that almost goes hand in hand with, you know, the fertilizer companies and the meat processing companies and the trains and all that stuff getting wrecked.
Right.
You almost wonder if there really is just like some Chinese saboteur group, and you know there is, whether or not they're operational yet or not is the real question. But somebody is doing all of this. Is it the Chinese?
Okay. Well,
if they are decreasing the world's part, which if
they've stated they want to by 6.5 billion people.
I know, that's why I corrected myself. Anyway, this whole effort to decrease the world's population, I would much rather them do it by like viruses and just killing people off than a famine worldwide where we all suffer.
Well, they're going to do it with war too. I mean, you can't. Yeah. No one tool for them is going to be able to do it. They're going to encourage wars worldwide. But the thing is, they may not want to actually destroy the world. So the good news is, I don't think they'll nuke anyone.
Wars. Yeah.
So, you know, conventional warfare, viruses. Famine.
Because they have to decrease the world's population to save the Earth.
Yeah,
so they can't nuke
the Earth in the process.
But I mean,
well,
I
then
just don't
you know
go
what? Can
famine.
I just say something? You're almost arguing for a first strike.
Why? Like if we did nuke it and we ruined the Earth, there'd be nothing to save.
Well,
is that what we're talking about?
Nuke them,
because they won't nuke back.
Who again?
You're saying?
Are we just talking about China? Is China a big enough influence in the worldwide scheme that
Shall we play a game?
Yeah.
The answer to that is yes. China is.
Are they the head of the snake though?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes. Like the IOM is the head of the snake and it is
yeah, but they're the UN.
It's the engine that's running and organizing and all these what do you say 200 and some or whatever NGOs that are doing all this. If you take away China, all these other countries that are causing problems all around the world,
they're
all doing it at China's instigation and support.
What's that, San Vicente, which they call basically Camp China, in Panama, just before the Darien Gap?
Yeah.
Or wait, on the other side of Panama. Yeah, no, in Panama, on the south side of the Darien Gap is that San Vicente. And by the way, Alejandro Mayorkas, there's a video that was out there, landed a Black Hawk helicopter with some other big wigs and went into that camp. And then, lo and behold, from like overhead aerial footage from a drone, you can see that within the course of the year, right after the time that Mayorkas was there, that the camp like triples in size.
Yeah, according to Michael Yanni, just delivered bags of cash
for them to grow the camp to increase the flow.
Right.
I've seen the side-by-side picture, and one is like May of 22, and the other is like May of 23. You just sent it to me, didn't you, Dad? That picture?
Yes.
Or you sent me a tweet that had that picture
in
it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's shocking the amount of growth, and it was right after Mayorkas was there. In person. What is the DHS secretary doing at a Chinese camp in South America? I mean, I know the answer, but nobody else is going to...
Okay, but I can... Well, look, the only reason that we know that happened is because Michael Yon got some inclination that it was happening from somewhere, and he said he went there and waited for 4 days, and then, boom, Mayorkas shows up in the helicopter dropping off bags of cash. I mean, he can't do that through... If he did that through official channels, then the world can follow the paper trail and the money trail. Well,
so did you say that Yon got tipped off, or that he just had a feeling?
No, he said he got tipped off.
Mm.
And he said he went there, he got there ahead of him, and waited 4 days, and then boom, there he shows up.
And that man supposedly hasn't done anything that constitutes as impeachable.
Yeah,
no.
According to the Senate.
Because I thought you were implying for a moment that he just, you know, it was like a spiritual thing, that he was told Mayorkas was going to be there. And I was like an Alex Jones...
No.
Kind of thing, because Tucker Carlson is convinced that Alex Jones is a prophet.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Some of the things are weird, though.
I'm going to tell you something. Now, I had a friend in California who was very legitimately prophetic, and he said that he believed that a lot of people have it was God's plan for them to use them with a prophetic gifting, but they never surrendered their life to Christ.
Yeah.
And he said, those are a lot of people that you think are crazy and walking around, you know, goofy and babbling to themselves.
Yeah.
He thinks that's what a lot of those people are, because they see and they understand things, but they can't, it's just, you know, horrible to them or whatever, but because they can't contextualize it within God's kingdom.
Alex Jones,
they just see stuff.
I mean, Alex Jones said on tape several months before 9/11 that planes were going to be flown into the World Trade Center, and that they were going to blame it on a man named Osama bin Laden.
That's insane. How else do you explain it?
Tucker also thinks that UAPs, or as we have known of them in the past, UFOs, are spiritual phenomena. And he has a pretty good argument, actually.
Yeah, these are two big listens, but we're asking of you, but you should listen to the Michael Yon Tucker Carlson interview and the Joe Rogan Tucker Carlson interview.
Well, here's this. This is basically, once they got on the subject of UAPs, this is a response from Tucker Carlson on the subject.
Well, right. I mean, the prophet Ezekiel writes about it in the first chapter, Wheels in the Sky.
Yeah, that's a crazy one. Boy, when you
read
it.
Well, it is crazy. If you read it, it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and...
A wheel.
Not just, you know, the Hebrew scriptures, like it's all over every...
Mm-hmm. The Vedic texts.
Of course. Mm-hmm. So these are spiritual phenomena. There's no evidence they're from another planet. I mean, I think that's the that's the lie, that they're from Mars. Look, space, the atmosphere is really well monitored, right? Both for military for defense reasons, but also because, like, it'd be nice to know when asteroids are coming. And there's no evidence, has never been any evidence, that there are lots of these objects, these vehicles coming into our atmosphere from somewhere else, some other planet. There's no evidence of that at all.
So he's basically saying they've always been here.
I'm really glad you played
okay.
that.
Okay. I didn't listen to that when you played it, because when you said it, I thought you were crazy. And you played it, and I think it's less crazy.
Well, Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson definitely disagree on the topic of UFOs/UAPs or whatever they call them nowadays. That's for sure.
Well, what Tucker Carlson's his biggest point that totally makes sense is we do monitor the atmosphere.
Yes,
and
I want to.
We can visit. So you're telling me that there's recordings of us seeing objects that, you know, splash down into the water or do whatever, but we never saw them enter the atmosphere.
Right.
There's no way. So the logical
Joe Rogan writes that off just basically writes that off because their technology is so good we just don't know they've arrived.
Then how did we see them the other times?
But you would have to come, even if you're traveling like at light speed, you'd have to come out of it close to them. So precise.
Yeah. You'd have to come out of it so precise.
I mean, do you know,
in the grand scheme of space, the distance between the outer atmosphere and the surface of the Earth?
I still say this. Propulsion method aside, even if it's a matter of folding, you know, what's it? Joe Rogan thinks that they travel these great distances because they fold space.
Yeah, how do they do that through the water? How do they travel 500 knots underwater?
Here's the thing. I don't care what their propulsion method is. If they move a physical object through our atmosphere at greater than the speed of sound, it must break the sound barrier.
Well,
he's
arguing
that
they're not moving it through the atmosphere. That folding space isn't actually moving a physical object.
I understand that, but once they're in our atmosphere, we see them moving through our atmosphere faster than the speed of sound, and they do not create sonic booms.
If we're watching them move, they're not folding space. I agree with that, obviously. And not to mention, like Tucker said, they hit the water and they continue moving at the same speed. We know for a fact
that
when you shoot
high
velocity projectiles into the water, it rips it apart. I mean, good grief, light can't even make it through.
Yeah. And even the faster you go, the more destructive it is on the object moving through water.
So there's no way it's traveling that fast, hits the water, and keeps going that fast.
The only thing
without being a non-physical entity.
Right. The only thing I've ever seen of a vehicle that they say supposedly entered the water and kept on was one, it's a sphere. It's round, like a moon. And it comes down to the water level and then just blinks off. It doesn't go to like 3/4 of a moon, half moon, but you know, quarter of a moon, and then gone. It's just on off. That's not an object entering into the water. That's something you're seeing that's blinking on, and then because then it blinks back on, full sphere again, and then blinks back off. That's I don't believe that that's something that entered the water.
So I don't think any of our listeners believe in alien UAPs. So you want to move on to the next topic?
Well, no, here's something else I want to move about it. Two things. One, Rogan sometimes, I mean, I like him. He's a good interviewer, but sometimes he's just saying stuff to sound engaged or smart. Like Tucker Carlson says the Hebrew text and Rogan's like, oh yeah, and like the Davidic text. Okay, the Davidic text and the Hebrew text are the same thing, Joe.
He said Vedic, which...
He said Davidic.
I thought he said the Vedic text.
Oh, I think he said Davidic.
Oh,
anyways, but he also talks about how when Tucker Carlson is making the point that these are spiritual beings or issues within our world, our atmosphere, they get talking about all this secrecy of the government, what they know and what they don't know, and they both seem to say that, oh, well, we know that the government, you know, they have all these secret projects and they keep it really secret from us and there's no way we would know. That is complete nonsense. The most important secret event in our country's history, the development of the atom bomb, it was known it was taking place. They had people selling the secrets to other nations. I mean, if we can't keep that secret, then we aren't keeping anything secret. So that's just nonsense.
Tucker also seems to believe that the devil or something provided the technology to split the atom.
Yeah,
to the guy who discovered
him.
It. Yeah, I do too, because I looked into it, and he said we don't really know where the technology, you know, where the first like light bulb moment of splitting the atom came from, or like the beginning of fission. And I looked that up, and it began actually like in the 1890s. It talks about very specifically how a guy was studying essentially radiation and why that happens, and that's where he started discovering like, you know, alpha radiation and beta radiation. But it wasn't until later. Had like actual fission.
I like Tucker, but I would say one of his shortcomings is he speaks about everything in binary terms, in very absolute terms, and that's just not the case. Because he'll state it like it's an absolute known fact, and it's just not, and things aren't sometimes.
So there are other massive things going on.
There are.
Can we talk about those?
Sure, there's a lot.
We have talked about the crazy anti-Israel, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestine protesters all over. And this past week, it has just taken over college campuses. So started at Columbia, and they were so large and causing such a ruckus that they actually, the president or whatever, declared virtual classes. And a professor told Jewish students to not come to campus. And then it spread to like NYU and even to UT Austin. And USC, I see, just canceled their main stage commencement ceremony because of all these protesters. And so there's like a whole encampment of people. And
you mean the protesters that just simply moved from their BLM tents into the pro-Palestine tents?
Yeah. I've heard them called Gaza encampments.
Thing. And Ilhan Omar's daughter was at Columbia or NYU or Yale. I don't know. One of these.
Is this a daughter that she had arrested with her brother?
Yes.
This is her niece's daughter.
Is it her niece daughter?
Her daughter niece, yeah. That's what I was going to say.
They do what they
also
say.
Also, it's hilarious.
Incest is the best. Put your sister to the test.
She was on MSNBC or something being interviewed, and she commented on these chemical weapons that have been unleashed on these protesters. That's literally this fart spray that people bought online. It's bad fart spray. I'm guessing it's the same one Mark Rober uses in his like Porch Pirates videos.
Yeah. Chemical.
And they're all calling it like a chemical weapon. But it's crazy. I just like that it's insane what is going on and the things that are being said and that this is happening. I don't know. It's hard to fathom for me.
They apparently, if you've listened to any Blaze host this week, they were shown this infamous 46-47 minute video of the actual day of October 7th. They were shown everything other than like the sexual assaults, and they're just say, you know, if you've seen it, there's no possible way you can side with Hamas and the pro-Palestine.
I'll give you the best argument I've heard from the other side. This girl that's at the protests, and if you want to know what they're all about, here, listen to her.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stop. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU is doing?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh.
Me too. I wish you were more educated too.
I was there off at Columbia and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
So she's like, I don't really know what NYU...
She heard there's lots of cops. She just wanted to see what was going on.
I don't really know what NYU was doing specifically about Israel. And then she literally looks at the girl next to her and goes, why are we here? Like, she literally goes, why are we here specifically? And the girl's like, I wish I was more educated, which is her fancy way of going, I don't know.
At least at Google, where those people were all protesting, they had a reason, which is a stupid reason, right? That Google's cloud had a contract with Israel something, and Google fired all those people that were protesting or walked out, but at least they had a reason.
See, I'm actually glad to see that. I'm actually for them to do that at Google, because that's when, you know, they're eating their own.
Oh, that's what these college things are.
Right.
I love this.
Yeah.
They created this monster.
Yeah, they created 100% pathological.
And although, look, let's be honest,
you know a lot of those people. You know a lot of those people are not college students.
Oh, I understand.
No, a lot of people are just showing up.
I don't care, but a lot of them are.
Yeah,
and even if the instigators aren't, they're absolutely recruiting a lot of students. I would still say that the majority of them are students.
Well, haven't you seen like some of this crazy stuff that's happening? And the police said they can't go on campus unless the school invites them, or they have, like, they know there's a crime going on, that something's going on.
That's nonsense. Yeah,
because it's not actually
they're not sovereign territory.
No, they're not. However, they are private property in a lot of these cases with the private schools, not the public schools. But in the private school case, unless the school determines that what they're doing, basically the school is trespassing them because the schools are private, which we know private schools don't exist because they're so heavily subsidized by government money.
You know what else is private property? My property. Do you think it would stop them from coming on it? Not a chance.
Okay. Unless the university tells the students to leave, though, they're not breaking the law on private property. The reason why the police are coming to you is because they believe that you broke the law already.
I can see that. I mean, yeah.
But if the college is not against them to the point where they would say, come and remove them, they cannot go in and remove them from private property.
If the university welcomes them, let them burn the place down.
If the university welcomes them. In a lot of these cases, they haven't, and that's when the police finally do come in, like at Columbia, because the police can't just go onto the Columbia campus and clear the people out for the other students unless Columbia administration says to do it, which they did.
There was a clip I just kind of saw in passing where there was a pro-Palestinian demonstration going on, protest against McDonald's. They were shouting at McDonald's.
Yes.
Hilarious.
That was hilarious. Why? Because there's a McDonald's in Israel or what?
I guess.
Ronald Remove McDonald's. All your franchises Got from to go. Israel.
Wow. Okay, so you mentioned there are no private colleges, right? Because we know they're all heavily subsidized.
100%, so, yeah.
Speaking of college or government subsidies for colleges, the Biden administration has officially changed the language of Title IX to include gender identity as equal to sex. So now, so this is more than colleges. It would go, you know, all the way K through college, that anyone can claim. So now, right, if you don't let a boy who says he's a girl into a girl's bathroom, if you don't let him play sports, if you don't use the right pronouns, even maybe, who knows, like they could force that, you can lose all your government funding.
Right. They are taking all the protections of Title IX and saying they apply to a man who thinks he's a woman.
Which I already didn't agree with Title IX completely, but at least women exist.
It literally undoes Title IX.
Yeah. You know what? Matt Walsh, I heard him, and he's right. They could solve all of this if they could just simply ask or answer his question. Well, what is a woman?
Yeah. This is going to be challenged, though. It's being challenged, so we'll see. But one of the things that it undoes is what the Trump administration put into place, protections for, like, due process. Because this was another one. It changed for, like, males on campus who've been accused of sexual assault. We've seen so many lies and hoaxes in the past. Like, a girl just regrets a decision and she claims that she was assaulted. And this
or just
guy
makes it up.
Yeah. Or just makes it. And he gets expelled. Right. Mattress girl or whatever. That was totally made up. The Duke LaCrosse case.
And they're not allowed to,
like,
defend themselves because they don't want to put the victims, air quotes. You can't see me, but I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Through any additional trauma. Okay. What if it was fake?
And
that's
they don't
not
even
how
get,
it works.
They don't even. The guy who's accused doesn't even get to see all of the evidence that's posed against him, so he can't even really make a defense. And, like, obviously, if he's done something, I'm for, you know, kick him out of your school. And if there's illegal, if you
if
have enough evidence, like,
turn
you're
it
trying,
over to
right?
the police.
Prove it.
Exactly.
Prove
exactly.
It.
But the way it is now is, like, the 51, if you have 51% sure, they get rid of it. And so all schools are going to err on the side of just getting rid of the guy because they aren't going to get punished.
They
if
won't
they...
risk it. It's not 51%
exactly.
sure. It's 1%
right.
maybe.
Because
yeah.
because if not, if they, something
not
happened
it.
Later, they would be held. They could be held liable.
Exactly. But if they get rid of him and he didn't do anything, they're probably, like, they're not going to get in trouble.
Yeah,
so.
Few. The, you'd be.
There's no due process now.
I mean, say you got rid of a guy, he could theoretically come back and sue them, but it's rare that somebody would do that because it's so expensive.
Yeah. So it's a disaster.
Yeah, it's just being a female is meaningless and Title IX is meaningless.
The challenge is in like compelled speech. And that must be how they're challenging this legally. Is because
parts of it are going to end up absolutely being a First Amendment violation because it'll be considered harassment to not use
their preferred pronouns. Was in a public school, right? Like your kid's in a public school and they don't use. You tell them like don't use their biological pronouns because that's how it works, right? And your kid refuses to call them they/them whatever they want to be called. And your kid's going to get expelled for it or something.
Don't send your kid to one of these schools.
Not only can they be expelled, it is classified. Legal. It could be criminal. It could be criminal harassment.
Yeah.
That is what it says. That is a First Amendment violation.
Yeah.
Obviously.
So Mom and I were commenting about this whole trans and female stuff with the Title IX. And I just wish, I may have said this on here before, but ladies, Your superpower is being a woman. I love women, okay? I'm a big fan of women. And just the fact that you are a woman is your superpower when it comes to men. You do not need to, I mean, if you want to go out and you want to work in the world and be a professional and do all, fine. I don't care, but don't feel like you have to be something more or more powerful or equal. You are already superior to men, and being a female is your superpower. If it were not for women, well, I mean, there wouldn't be a human race, but other than that, we'd still be living in caves.
That wouldn't be terrible sometimes compared to now.
Well, I agree. And the fact that we both agree we'd still be living in caves. So
I like air conditioning.
Go for a swim. It'll be fine.
Okay, but here's the thing. If it wasn't for women, men wouldn't care if they sweat and stunk.
That's true.
We only care that we stink and are all gross and sweaty because there's some woman might see us.
I sweat way more than Cole ever sweats.
Yeah, that's for me. Sweat. I'm a sweater.
He has to work so hard.
I start thinking about working out and I sweat.
Yeah, same. The humidity here does get him. Finally, he sweats.
I just wish people would realize that. I just wish women would realize that. Just being a woman is a superpower. Trust me.
Also, what they say about giving birth, that's no joke. That's a superpower. It's crazy. You're like, how?
That was insane. And I wasn't even in the room with you.
I passed a kidney stone. I passed a kidney stone the old school way. No pulverizing them. It had to get out of there.
How in the world did you get a kidney stone at such a young age?
No, middle school.
I've never had a kidney stone.
I used to drink like 8 cartons of chocolate milk a day. It was a calcium deposit. They made me pee through a strainer. There was no way. By the time that thing's coming out, it hurts so bad, you're not going to hold that strainer over the toilet and catch the stone in there. There's no way.
Why do
you just
want to
cry? They want to see it. The doctor wants to see it, to examine it, to make sure whatever. And I just basically told him, no, that didn't happen. There's not a chance.
You should have just went to the driveway and picked up a pebble.
Picked up a piece of gravel and given it to them. Their eyes get real big for a second. Hey, you know what? I actually wanted to talk about this, and it has a little bit to do with Donald Trump, but now that we're on the case of medicine and going to the doctor, you know, I'm so sick of this whole, it's unprecedented, and there's no precedent, and there's no case law, and case law drives me nuts, and Dad's talked about it all the time. Why don't we just go based off the law, not based off what the last guy said? And so I had kind of this interesting thought, and then I thought, unfortunately, I think they are doing this. What if doctors had case medicine? And they could only go based off of case medicine.
100%.
We'd still be using leeches. That's what would happen.
They follow an algorithm.
Well, case medicine says that we should be bleeding you with leeches.
Exactly.
Comparison. But then I thought to myself, what Cassidy's kind of pointing out, they kind of do that. It's a flow chart now.
Right. 100%. Well, they are doing that now because it reduces liability.
Yeah. But what if it was like the old school? Like, oh, well, this worked right. back in the yeah. 1700s. Right. Doctor Professor, you know, Tobias Mahogany said that.
Right.
They'd still be wearing those masks that have
look
the
like birds.
Potpourri. Yeah, that have potpourri in them because they used to think that the bad smell was how you got sick.
COVID worked like that too, apparently.
we are using case medicine.
Well, if we went by basically case laws or case medicine, we would have never progressed to the point to where we could now are reverting back to using case medicine.
So anyway,
but
I had that
but
thought.
It's purely,
that it would
be funny. It's purely a tool to limit liability or malpractice. I mean,
medical precedent dictated that I should have treated this patient this way. Okay, well, they're dead, so it was wrong.
Today,
obviously.
I described it. Jess and I were actually talking about this today when she got here, and I equated it. The first time I thought about it like this is, you know how in schools, you know, mom is like a more teach to the middle person, but some teachers, they teach to the bottom. It's like, no kid left behind, we teach to the bottom. That's basically what our medical system is. They care to the bottom, the sick people. So then they treat all the health people like sick people too, until they make them sick and also dependent on their drugs and medication and all that stuff. But
that's what law enforcement does too. You just treat everybody like they're the perp, and then you'll always be sometimes right.
This is a thing where it's like the average person hears this stuff and you just go, what? Because if you take them out to their take them out logically, what you're saying makes no sense. Like the whole, we'd still be using leeches and teaching to the dumbest person. I mean, like, I'm like, well, we're going to teach to excel. You know what? Catch up.
Right.
Catch up. It's like this gay dinosaur story.
Yeah. This is kind of an old story.
It kind of flies in the face of evolution, doesn't it?
Okay. Let me read you. It's in something called the Publica. It is, British Museum claims some birds, dinosaurs, may have been queer in new exhibit.
So it wasn't
a meteor that killed them.
These are our really smart people. These are the people that are supposedly telling us science and running our country. We're back to like Sheila Jackson Lee. Is she a part of this story? The moon's full of gas? I mean, we are run by a nation of idiots, of stupid smart people.
Hey, speaking of those protests and stupid people, one of our stupid people is still getting smarter. I don't know what happened. The reset button is real. He's still getting smarter. Listen.
It's not really him.
It is not appropriate or legal, or it's helpful to advance your argument if you show up in a Starbucks with a bullhorn and start yelling at people, and that doesn't make you noble. It just makes you an asshole. It's very American to protest and to do that in the appropriate way. Then I absolutely support that. I'm not suggesting that you have to agree with my view, but it's just saying it doesn't really allow you to disrupt lives and to inflict those kinds of damages on people that are just trying to get on with their lives.
I think that's one of the signs of the apocalypse.
Do you know how much more articulate he is than Joe
Biden?
Than
the original John Fetterman?
Oh. No, than Joe Biden. He is way more articulate than Joe Biden.
But yes. Did you also hear him talk about the hostages that are still in Israel and how he has the pictures up and doesn't understand how people aren't talking about it?
I was like,
and
amen, brother.
I 100% agree with him.
Why, and I've said it over and over, why are the hostages never mentioned? Our history, until now, we never allowed hostages to be taken or an ongoing thing. It didn't happen. We were going to deal with it immediately. And all of a sudden, we don't even talk about it.
In my excitement, I think I may have said hostages in Israel.
In Gaza.
But obviously, I don't mean that. Yeah, in Gaza. They were taken hostage in Israel, but in Gaza.
Do you have, I don't know if this is one of the clips you have.
I have
of
the
Joe
clip
Biden.
Of Biden reading the teleprompter.
Yes,
want to talk about.
Oh my gosh.
What we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
He says it. By the way, he says pause twice. Listen.
Pause.
Imagine what we can do next. 4 more years.
Pause. 4 more years. 4 more years.
He did, you're right.
He was going to say something else. He was trying to correct. He was trying to correct it. But actually, nothing is as good as... Oh, if you want to comment on this, that's fine. But I have another Biden clip that I love.
Okay. Well, Keith Malinick was right when he said their only option really is to just put a big blank space so that the thing says nothing. So he'll just wait for the next
thing
to come.
What if he reads it again? Oh, you mean change it to where it's literally nothing.
Yeah, so like the teleprompter would have blank space so that he'd actually pause.
You know how sometimes when you like...
And just stare blankly.
Sometimes when you have a computer problem and you have to hard reset the computer, sometimes if the damage is bad enough, when you hard reset it, it just will never come back on. So I would be afraid that if you had just a blank screen, it would cause like a full reset and there'd be no reboot. It wouldn't come back. So... Anyway,
this clip you're going to play, I know what it is.
I love it so much.
This is amazing.
Would he say this? Why would he admit this out loud?
This clip proves that he is completely brain dead. There is no way any politician on the planet would ever make this statement other than Joe Biden. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
I never thought I'd see a time when I'm going through a neighborhood or a rural town in the West or Senate to see big signs that have a Trump sign in the middle that says F Biden and having a little kid standing with his middle finger, 7 years old, 8 years old. Well, I promise it happens all the time.
All the time.
On a regular basis, Joe Biden is such a bad president that children flip him off. And he said that out loud.
I would probably tell my child not to do that. Instead, I would say instead, honey, just moon him.
No, he'd like that. Don't let children moon
true.
Joe Biden.
I forgot about that part.
No.
We didn't get to talk about, because you guys recorded so early,
last week?
Joe Biden insinuated that his uncle was eaten by cannibals.
This is causing an international incident. Go tell the story.
New Guinea is mad.
Papua. You gotta say Papua.
New Guinea. I don't.
So, who wants to tell the story?
His uncle. He wasn't even a pilot, was he?
No. His story was.
Dad's obsessed with the story. Let him tell it.
His story was that his uncle was in the Army Air Corps in World War II. And he was a pilot flying reconnaissance missions. And one day, I guess he had to fly a mission because somebody else was sick and couldn't fly it. So he said he'd fly it. And it was over Papua New Guinea. And he was shot down. And his body was never recovered because, and they went down there to look for it, because there are a lot of cannibals in Papua New Guinea. So, and he said, they called him Uncle Bozy. So Uncle Bozy, Joe Biden was saying Uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals in Papua New Guinea because he was shot down in World War II. One, he did go down in a plane, but he was a passenger. He was not a pilot. He did not go down in Papua New Guinea. He went down over the ocean and nobody knows ever what really why or what happened. So now Papua New Guinea, they're mad. They're
for saying they're cannibals.
Well,
even though they are.
They are.
Yeah, and they're like, there's news stories on the Papua New Guinea TV about it. And, you know, here's what it does.
He said, I don't know if it's president. Who was the leader of Papua New Guinea?
I don't know.
What's he called? Whatever he's called. He said that that their relations with the U.S. have never been worse.
Yeah, because, so that's what I was going to say. You know what this means? This means China comes in and says, hey, we can help you out.
Hey, we don't think that you ate Biden's uncle.
Yeah, but what do we get from Papua New Guinea?
I think they have a lot of natural resources. Military. Yeah. Military,
strategic. Present.
Building a base there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, the Chinese say, we don't think you're cannibals, but if you're hungry, we got some Uyghurs here for.
Since we're talking about Joe, we mentioned about how he went to that gas station in Pennsylvania last week. Maybe it was a couple weeks ago. I don't remember when we mentioned that. But then, right after he went visited that Sheetz convenience store, they turned around and his administration is suing them because they discriminatory hiring practices, apparently, when they do background checks on potential new employees, they then if it comes back with a criminal record, they more often don't hire black people. It was something.
Yeah, there's like they're
if it comes back that you have a record, they're less likely to hire you if you're black rather than white.
What
so they
was
do
the
hire
crime?
Some people with exactly.
What if they were white collar versus assault?
Yeah. Well,
if you were a white collar criminal, you're probably not applying for a cash register position at
why? If you're a convicted white collar criminal, yeah, no one's ever gonna give you a job in finance ever again. You might have to.
No, you go apply for a government job. If you're a white collar criminal.
Anyway, just that he turned around and
the very next day the EEOC filed the lawsuit. And here's the thing. They didn't say that they were being that this was racially motivated. It's having a disparate impact. That's the way that they do it.
Oh,
because what they're saying, it's affecting more blacks, Hispanics, you know, Native Americans, because by percentage of population, especially the black community, they commit astronomically more crimes on a per capita basis.
Okay,
but you know what? Don't do the crime.
So they're suing because they won't hire people who have criminal records. Yet then they also come out and put out an attack ad against Donald Trump where this guy goes around to places and talks about his record, like alleged, you know, basically gives Donald Trump's record. I have this many counts against me, whatever. Would you hire me? And how, Donald Trump would be a liability to be hired at your local mall. So he's a liability to be our president. I'm like, except you just said that's discriminatory.
Yeah, but here's the difference. He literally has not been convicted of any of them.
And that's
criminally.
True. That's also
not
true.
Not a single one of them.
Right.
Even the stupid E. Jean Carroll thing was a civil settlement.
Dude,
it was
she's
not criminal.
So weird. She's the weirdest
she's a
person
total nutbag.
Ever.
She makes,
remember that?
She
remember
makes
that?
John Fetterman look like a Rhodes Scholar.
Remember Anderson Cooper. The Anderson Cooper interview. Yes. Where she's like, I think people think that rape is sexy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Anderson Cooper's like, we're gonna
go,
to break.
And then she starts coming on to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like,
you're
very
so
interesting to talk to.
Hey, E. Jean, he's gay, okay?
Hey, just because you talked about aliens earlier, I want to get the story in. So maybe a hammer really does cost $20,000 because the Air Force is paying $90,000 for a single bag of bushings.
Right.
So that obviously relates because of your quote.
But
here's
they don't pay $90,000 for the bushings. That money is going to black ops. That's the whole point. It is literally the joke. Instead, we could go $20,000 for a hammer, $90,000 for a bag of bushings. It's the same.
His point in the Independence Day was that all that money is funding
going
Area,
to Area 51.
51. Yeah. I want to talk about this because I got to bounce this off of you guys. It's been sticking with me ever since the Joe Rogan and the Tucker Carlson interview, and they were talking about AI. And Joe Rogan has the theory, and I don't remember how much Tucker disagreed with him. I don't think they were exactly on the same page, but I think that they're tracking along the same lines. People seem to have this view that AI, a completely digital, I don't know how to say it, mechanical world, not carbon-based, like human beings, life forms, but purely a digital world is the next logical step in evolution. I do remember this. Tucker Carlson said, you know, Darwinian evolution is completely discredited. Virtually nobody believes in that anymore. And that's true. And Joe Rogan was shocked to hear that. Tucker Carlson did a decent job explaining that basically, and he didn't use these terms, but yes, we do believe in micro evolution, in other words, adaptation within species, but there is no evidence of macro evolution, one species becoming another species. But again, that was shocking news to Rogan. But so Rogan believes, and there are a lot of other people do, that this is why we're working towards it, that we will have this AI and it will basically become the next life form, so to speak, to where the human beings and all that life type of life is no longer exist. But here's my thing. I don't see how that's possible because if there's one link, because you're talking about machines and computers that have to go out and mine quarries and produce raw materials and smelt them and everything else and machine them and anything else that we have to do to make the next product, to make the next machine, to make the next computer. They got to transport it. They got to do all these things. They got to put programming in it. If there's one link missing in any of that, it all grinds to a halt. Am I not understanding that correctly?
Wouldn't they learn how to do it?
How? How would they learn to do it? How would they learn and be able to build? This is what it actually, I think it shows the folly of the idea of macroevolution. How, as humans are gone, how do they learn to, you can't mine the stuff to make more stuff unless you've already built the stuff that can go mine the stuff, and you have to be linked up and you have to be programmed and all that stuff. All that has to happen in advance.
Do we know that Joe Rogan actually believes that this new life form that is digital would actually mean that there aren't any people?
That's what he talks about. That's the way I understand it anyway.
Because that AI will turn that us alone, into slaves.
Yeah, because that alone would be stupid because to even think that, because we are supposedly...
Unless
the higher evolved life form, and we still exist with the lower evolved life forms on this earth, according to the theory of evolution.
Right. I guess he could be saying that digital life would become the superior dominant life.
And that we would still exist and they would enslave us. So all those things, all those little hiccups, they would just punish people and make them do it. Repair our link. You know, repair our broken link in our production chain.
How about no? And then we become the dominant.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. Right. But I know. It is. It is the problem with the theory that I've always thought is there'd have to be breaks in the line somewhere. And if that were the case, then why isn't there a parallel life form to humans that came from a break somewhere? So,
right.
Like,
there was
We know for a fact, let's say ridiculously, that the theory of evolution, macroevolution, one species becoming another, was real and it all came from one single-celled organism. When there was a break in the road that was closer to our current final form, why didn't another branch off of that? Why don't we have another humanoid type with different characteristics than humans? Why are just humans humans? And because there'd be an infinite amount. I mean, think about the way that kind of stuff evolves. It would be a pyramid. So the further out from the original single-celled organism you get, the more variance there would be. How is there not another parallel life form on the same level as humans if the theory of evolution all the way back to a single-celled organism was true?
I think you got a good point.
There's no way that all of the other life forms were just that far behind us, one.
Even with adaptation, microevolution, you see that within species of animals. You don't really see it within species of human beings. It's not, we may be different in melanin content. Maybe the shapes of certain faces or features might be different, but we don't actually have different body parts. Some species actually have different body parts, like, you know, the whole
the overall size of human beings changed due to the temperature, due to Earth's climate warming and cooling in the normal cycles that we know that it does. People did get bigger during times when the climate was warmer because more food was grown, but it's the same as every other mammal on Earth. Every other mammal was measured, their skeletons are measured to be
That's
larger
not evolution
and they're
so much
dated.
As nutrition.
Correct. Yeah, but I mean they physically are just bigger, taller.
They did say for a while that we were evolving to get these like horn things on the back because we look at phones or something all the time.
So people are born like that?
That we were going to start to have.
Here's the thing though. Tipping my neck down to look at something isn't going to translate into my DNA. How can that be passed on?
I don't know, but I remember reading something about that. It's at one point.
It's like the example, and there's much simpler examples. But the eyeball it is it's literally impossible for it to develop evolutionary, because following an evolutionary method, because something has to be in place already developed before the next thing can develop, but it can't develop until another thing is developed. There's so many intricacies. It's not possible for it to evolve because there are literally all these missing links. Yeah. You have to have a brain. There's no reason we have to have the brain that we have and all the nerves and all that. Otherwise, there's no reason for an eye to exist. And that's a very simplistic, you know, example of it. Let alone with all the intricacies within the eye. Why the lens this and why that? I mean, if something else doesn't already exist. Not to mention,
this is going to be a joke just for Jess and Cole. Not to mention, have you seen an orange that's pre-sliced? Tell me that happened by random chance.
You mean it grew that way on the vine?
How amazing it is. Like, they're like,
well, the oranges were like, it really hurts when those people cut me. I should pre-cut myself. Well,
also, if it wasn't,
so they don't cut me anymore.
Cole was like, imagine if you peeled it, it was just like a gush of the juice just was like all over if it wasn't pre-sliced. I'm like, yeah, forget how much of a miracle, you know, growing a human and giving birth. Like an orange. Do you need any more proof than that there's a God?
Yeah. Yeah. So I just was struck by his, I mean, he seemed to be saying, you can go back and listen to it. It was a really good interview. I mean, it's worth listening to. Very entertaining and a lot of stuff talked about. But it came across to me that he was saying that basically we're going to end up in a mechanical digital world. But maybe it's just that human beings will be...
Hard pass.
So there's a thing out there that says the IQ in the United States has dropped for the first time in nearly a century.
No doubt.
So I tied that back to the video, the audio that we played last week at the conclusion of the show.
Japanese. What country is the Great Wall of China in? Japanese. Yep. It's like, I don't need any more evidence. That's a dumb. I want to know how much money they spent on that case study, because if it's more than it cost that guy to make that TikTok video, they didn't need to do that.
I have laughed multiple times this week just thinking about Kate's incredulity when the girl says Japanese.
I can't stand it. What production country
was the Queen of England originally from?
Yeah, that was the first question, and she never got it. She couldn't figure
some
it
guy,
out.
Some guy walking around.
It's in the question.
Times Square with a microphone on a spoon and a cell phone is all you need. You don't need to spend millions of dollars on a case study. I mean, that's more spending millions of dollars on a case study to prove that people are getting dumber is prove more of a waste dumber. Of money than $90,000 on a bag of bushings.
And I'm sure our taxpayer dollars paid for that.
I just thought it was interesting that we all instinctively understand this. It was just kind of nice to see it validated. So I will move on to this, that because I see you, Cassidy, I'm sure put this on here, that Foreigner was finally inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They were.
I will say, though, that with the list of people that they're inducting into the Hall of Fame, it almost makes it meaningless.
I know. Yeah. It does.
When he started reading the other people that got in. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't.
When he started reading the list of the rest of people that got in, wasn't one of them Outkast? That's a rap group.
Hey,
Or maybe it wasn't Outkast.
Cher's not rock and roll.
Who?
Cher's not rock and roll.
It's not.
No. I would have said, I know I've been trying to get in for decades now, but I will not go in the same class as Cher.
Yeah. Even the Dan Patrick Show was saying, like, if they just changed it to the Music Hall of Fame or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I will say
but
this, though.
You don't need to. They have other Halls of Fame.
Yes.
Because in Nashville, there's a Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And there's probably a Hip Hop Hall of Fame somewhere. And there's probably,
changed it to a Music Hall of Fame, then they could make it into, like, a big star-shaped building. And they could actually have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's literally just a hall.
In the hall.
Yeah.
Okay, but you'd have to take a lot of people out because there's too many people in there.
It'd be the hallway. Because
then, if you opened up to the whole history of music,
yeah. But why is there not a Motown Hall of Fame in Detroit?
Is there not? Maybe there is.
I mean,
that
I
would be a good place for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I will say this, it's caused me to go back and I've been listening to a lot of like just great 70s guitar licks, just going back and remembering all these songs mm-hmm. with the bands. Man, we should do a segment where we just play some clips of great. There's some amazing, amazing guitar clips in some of these songs. And just the,
and you this know, week just, is the guitar solo special.
I mean, it's guitar so licks, fun. Not even solos. I love it. I just love it. I mean, I guess it's because it's my generation. But yeah, this you see these.
Music. It's not the same. Music is. Not
I get
the
these
same.
Posts on it's... Facebook about the 70s. You know, the 60s, 70s. That stuff is the greatest time. And the cars. The clothes, the music, you know, it was. Everybody had long hair.
The individual rights.
Everybody had long hair. Guys, it's amazing to see how many guys were thin. We all were, you know, you had your, you know, we wore pretty tight jeans, but they were bell bottoms and tie-dyed t-shirts. I mean, I have a picture of me at my high school graduation party. I'm wearing a tie-dyed t-shirt. And I'm wearing, you know, tight jeans that are bell bottoms, and it's just
and
have long hair.
And pierced ear with your long hair.
Yeah, and we had, you know, 69 Chevelle that was driving.
Yeah, only people that live through that and have nostalgia for that though want that back. Because no thanks.
Why?
What do you mean? Because it's not the same. It's not the same.
We were so much cooler than this generation,
and we didn't have the internet.
Exactly. All I know is that if somebody asked Joe Biden what his favorite guitar licks were, he'd probably respond, "I don't know. I've never tasted them."